Good morning. Please be seated. Welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. My name is Jane Wiseman, and I'm the duty elder this morning. And if you are visiting with us today, welcome. And we ask that you please sign the guest book at the front entrance. And following the service, please join us downstairs for a time of fellowship. A couple of announcements. The WA had great success at their Hollyberry Bazaar, and there will be a potluck lunch on December the 6th at 12:30, and all the ladies of the congregation are invited. Just let a member of the WA know if you plan to attend. And there will be someone downstairs taking orders for Christmas poinsettias. And Renata has an announcement, and then Ron.
Good morning. Today I'm Renata from the ticket office again. So I just want to tell you about the Creef Hills Luncheon. Last year was the first year that I was there, and I'm telling you, it was a very, very wonderful afternoon. So if anyone is interested in going there, and it's in the bulletin on December the 5th, we start eating at 12. Now I want to say, if there's anyone that doesn't have a ride going there, please let me know at the office, because everyone has got a space in their car. I think we're about 40 people last year, so it's amazing. For $18, you get a full cooked turkey Christmas meal. And the atmosphere is just so beautiful. Driving out to the country, and it was really snowing. It was quite cold that day, but it's a beautiful experience. So please let us know. I'm going to be downstairs for a while just with a list. If you don't have money today, please just put your name on the list if you want to go. And then I just want to tell you about two things. And Jacob, I know you probably won't like me saying that, but there is something on the bulletin board. For those who don't know, Jacob is the director of a very wonderful Ancaster Symphonia, very talented young man. And if you want to attend a concert that is really, really amazing, please consider going. I think it's next week on Friday, Friday night the 1st. So if you want to go, it's on the bulletin board. And then also I want to say something, and now, Gord, I can't remember when your concert is. The police choir?
It's December 9th.
Okay, and you will remember that the police choir was here last year, so their concert is also coming up. Two very nice evenings to attend. Thank you. Yes, Jake is just saying, please, if you can, buy tickets for that concert online, because they go like this. So online is probably better. You don't want to get there and then there's no tickets left anymore. Thanks, Jake.
Good morning. I only have one comment. As you know, for years, Burlington East has been sponsoring children through the Christian Children's Fund of Canada. We are currently sponsoring two young girls who live with their parents, they're farmers, and they live in Africa. The donations help to provide Sana and Felicity, the two girls we support, with their families and communities to improve education, healthcare, nutrition, and provide clean water. Following the service during fellowship, Janine will be downstairs. And she'll be back again next week. We're just a little bit shy of our goal. We're looking to raise a few more $100. Your contributions are greatly appreciated and helps with Burlington East reach out to the world and provide care and love. Thank you.
And I just wanted to add to, now I didn't have any announcements, but as I came in today, I realized that we have these lovely flowers here. And I see that Shirley and Denise have put a lovely picture of Willard up there, and it's glad that you've done that. And I've mentioned in the past that if you are putting flowers up, it's nice to have a photograph of who they're for, if you have one, because then we get to see that individual, and it's nice to see a picture of him. We also have flowers at the main entrance downstairs. Those were left here in honor of Nancy Capstick in the funeral that was held on Friday, and so we just, those are two folks we want to keep in our minds today, Nancy and Willard. Take a moment now to prepare our hearts for worship. Maybe not. We'll use the one I did last week. I like it better anyway right now. We light this Christ candle as a symbol that Christ is the light to our feet, as we read in Psalm 119, and a guide for us as we walk our way through worship this very day. Christ is in our midst. Christ is with us always. Amen.
The responsive call to worship is printed in your bulletin. The Lord God is our shepherd.
We are the people of God's pasture, the sheep of God's hand.
God will seek the lost, feed the hungry, and strengthen the weak.
God will empower hungry, will be fed with justice.
Let us make a joyful noise to the shepherd of our salvation. Our first hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd, number 11.
Please be seated. This is the time when we come before God, our King, and with a crown this morning to remind us of that, a King who lights our way and guides us in all ways, a time when we come to pray in prayers of adoration and thanks, prayers of confession of the moments that we have strayed from God's call in our lives and then followed with the Lord's Prayer. Let us bow our heads now in prayer. Almighty God, you raised Christ from the dead and established him as Lord over all powers on this earth. Give us grace to serve him wisely and faithfully that the world may see his glorious inheritance among the saints and recognize the freedom of joyful obedience in Christ. as we think and celebrate this morning Christ the King, the reign of Christ. And we have the symbols on our table today, the light that Christ gives us and the crown of his glorious reign, his conquering of death. We think and thank you, Lord, for so much that you have given us. Lord, you are a judge of the nations and a judge of all peoples. And Lord, we come before you as well this morning to confess, or to say to you, I guess really is the word, to say out loud, symbolically here in this prayer, that there have been times when we have not seen your face among our neighbors who are in need. And it's easy for us to identify some needs. Someone's coming here on a Food for Life Monday, and we're providing food for them. That's good, and that's wonderful work. But there's also times when our neighbors, which could be the person sitting beside us, is feeling sad. And instead of asking or praying for them or interceding in some way, we just go on in our life. And that's not what you call us to. You call us to love one another as we love ourselves. We've not always shared food with the hungry. And again, Lord, not necessarily physically, but sometimes spiritual food with those people around us in our lives who are spiritually hungry. We choose not to share what the joy it is to be a follower of Jesus, but we hide that light under a bushel. There have been times, Lord, when we've not offered clothes to the destitute or shelter to the homeless. And again, physically, those are almost easy to identify, but sometimes people need a cloak to cover them, to give them spiritual warmth or emotional protection, and we choose not to do that with one another. Instead, we hang on to the things that have hurt us. We hang on to the things that we just don't want to let go because. And so, Lord, we come to you today to confess these things and do more than that. Because it's one thing to say, yeah, there's the problems I have, Lord, and things I've fallen short of. But we're coming to you today to an act of repentance. And repentance is that turning and changing of the life of our lives. Lord, we're praying for strength that you can only give us, that we are able to do that. It's a gift from you, Lord, that we can walk in your path. We have to be willing, but you do help us, Lord. So we pray, Lord, that you will forgive us for the times when we have neglected that which you've called us to. And we're praying, Lord, in repentance that you can help us to turn around and do the right thing and give us the strength that we need. Open our eyes to recognize the needs that are around us, the path that you call us to, and give us, Lord, the strength that only you can give to walk that path. Lord, we come before you now, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God seeks the lost sheep, and he feeds them with justice. Forgiven and freed, turn then and live in Christ, for it is in Christ that we are forgiven. Amen. Christ the King Sunday. What a lovely supporting. Thank you very much, choir. Let's join together now in our children's hymn, Simply Trusting Every Day, 689. And during the second verse, we'll have the children come forward for a time together. Simply Trusting Every Day, 689. Please be seated. Boys and girls, today I want to talk about a reading that we're going to have later in script from the Bible, and it has everything to do about sheep and goats. So before we start that, I had some riddles for you, just a few, about sheep. What do you call a sheep covered in chocolate? A candy bar. Maybe the grown-ups will get this one better than you. We'll try it, though. How do sheep greet each other at Christmas? Merry Christmas to you. They got it. The you is a lady sheep. That's what you call a ram and a you. Anyway, let's see one more. How many sheep does it take to knit a sweater? Don't be silly. Sheep can't knit. I got lots. I got a whole page, but we'll just leave it at that. Today's lesson is, normally when we think of sheep and goats, that's a sheep, right? And if we think about a goat would probably look like that, right? So I have a little quiz I want to give you. You all right? Yep. So, I'm sorry, I'll show you guys that. Sheep, goat. Kind of tell the difference pretty easily. Sheep and a goat. But I've got some photographs here, and I want you to tell me if it's a sheep or a goat. Now, they're small, so I'll show them up close. So what do you think this is? Is this a sheep or a goat?
Sheep.
Yep, that's a sheep. It's hard to see, I know, folks, but that one was a sheep. Okay, what about this one? A sheep or a goat?
Goat.
Baby goat. What? Really? Think it's a goat? You sure about that?
No.
Well, you're right. This one is a goat. What about this one? This will be a tough one here. Is this a sheep
goat.
Or a goat?
It's
got horns, that's right. But you know what? It's a doll sheep. D-A-H-L, sheep. This one's actually a sheep. Hard to tell sometimes. What about this one? Is it a goat or a sheep?
Goat.
You think so?
Yeah.
Is that your final answer? Yeah, you're right. That one is a goat. What about this guy here? This is a sheep or a goat?
Sheep.
Yeah, you think it's a sheep? That one's actually a goat. Yeah. And lastly, is this a sheep or a goat?
Goat.
Yeah, this one's actually a sheep. This one's actually a sheep, folks. It's sometimes hard to tell the difference between sheep and goats. But I'll tell you with our little cartoon drawings here, one way you can tell. Usually, not always, but usually, which way is the tail pointing on the goat? Which way is it pointing? Up. See, it's pointing up. And which way is the sheep's tail pointing? Down. You learned something today, folks. The other thing is, sheep do get horns. The rams, the boy sheep get horns. And boy goats get horns. The difference between them is, you can see the goat's horns are pretty straight, more or less. I don't have a picture of a ram, but the ram's horns tend to be curly. So sheep have curly horns and their tails point down. Goat's horns tend to be straight and their tails tend to point up. Yep, those are pictures that we showed you. Jesus, in the story that we're going to read today, talks about a story that he tells everybody where somebody was, the king, was going to separate the sheep from the goats. But just like you did, most of the time you can tell the difference, but sometimes it's very difficult to tell the difference. And one way you can tell the difference is maybe by what they may eat, or maybe sometimes how they behave. Up and down tails, you learn something very good. And it's by what they're doing makes the difference. Goats sometimes tend to be butting their heads a lot and talking. If you've seen Funniest Home Videos, you can hear goats saying funny things sometimes. Sheep tend to not say so many funny things, I suppose, just because they don't talk like a goat does. But the idea was that what they did made a difference. And in the story, he separates them out and he says the people, and they're supposed to represent people, the people who were the sheep were people who helped other people and made a difference in other people's lives, were kind and helped them out all the time. And the goat people were the people who were selfish and didn't help other people. And that's what we want to learn from Jesus. We want to learn that what's the right thing to be doing in our lives, and that is to be helping other people and loving them all the time and not always thinking about ourselves. Let's have a little prayer together. Good job. I'll pray and you can listen today, okay? Lord, we thank you for this story about the sheep and the goats. And we pray, Lord, that the children will learn that what we do makes a difference in our lives, and what we do is because of you, Jesus. Be with them now as they go to Sunday school and as they learn their lessons today. Help it to change their hearts for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. Off to Sunday school, and we'll sing the last two verses of our hymn, Seated. Now, as we prepare to hear scriptures read this morning, God's holy word, let's just take a moment and bow our heads and invite the Spirit of God to speak to us. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we pray that you will open the eyes of our hearts by the power of your Spirit, that we may know the hope to which we have been called in Christ Jesus. May these lessons that we read today change our lives, Lord. And we pray this in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Our responsive psalm this morning is taken from Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7, and that's found in the Psalters in your pews. This psalm is the sixth of 11 psalms that have a particular focus and purpose, so to speak. This psalm is often used on the eve of the Jewish word Shabbat or Sabbath. So on Friday evening, this psalm, the first few verses would be read to declare that the Sabbath day has begun. The holiest days, certainly for all Israelites, as the Old Testament and Jews today. It is customary to welcome the Sabbath with these opening verses from this psalm, and it's also very appropriate for us as we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. It's worth considering why this particular psalm maybe would be chosen for the reign of Christ, as this psalm links the metaphors of shepherd and king and invites us to contemplate the unusual character of Christ's kingship. The psalm suggests a creative connection between God as king and God as shepherd, and invites believers to explore Christ's kingship, not within an imperial model particularly, but of kingship, but in terms of intimate actions of a shepherd leading and feeding and protecting his flock, that a king can take on that role, and as part of actually the king's role is to walk among the people and protect the people as a shepherd would do. Let's read responsibly then Psalm 95, 1-7.
O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us come into the Lord's presence with thanksgiving. For the Lord is a great God and a great sovereign above all gods. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel down before the Lord, our Maker.
For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture, and the sheep of God's hand.
Thank you, Jane. Our Old Testament reading today is taken from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 16, and then jumping down to 20 and 24. And that's found on page 803 in your pew Bibles. When Jerusalem, the city, was captured by the Babylonian forces in 597 BC, the city was left intact. They didn't destroy it. They just took many of the people away, and Ezekiel was taken along with the king and certain other high-ranking people to Babylonia. While in exile in Babylonia, Ezekiel saw a vision of God and was commanded to tell his people what God intended to do with them and why. In our reading this morning, we hear of the sheep and the shepherd again. The title shepherd was used of rulers in both Babylon and Egypt for ages and ages. In Israel, God was the great shepherd, but Scripture and Ezekiel frequently referred to Israel's earthly rulers as shepherds as well, and speaks out against them for the neglect of duty in allowing God's flock to be scattered. God's promises in this reading that no matter what the cost, he will reach out and love his people no matter where or what their circumstances, and he's calling us in that same degree of love. Keeping in mind, as I've said before, that because they were in Babylon, they could not worship God the way that they felt was appropriate because the temple wasn't in their presence. And so they had to come up with other ways to do that, and in many ways failed to worship God and started to take on the Babylonian way of their faith and its worship other gods. Ezekiel spoke out against that as well. Ezekiel 34, 11 to 16 and 20 to 24. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and I will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, And I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you punished with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Our New Testament reading, our epistle reading today is taken from Ephesians chapter 1, page 192 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles, beginning at verse 15. The church in Ephesus, where this letter is addressed to, was located in the Roman province of Asia, which at that time of Paul was located in the northeastern corner of the Mediterranean Sea, I guess where Greece and that sort of zone is, generally speaking. Paul was in prison at the time when this letter was composed, and in our reading today we see clearly that Paul knows that the Christian life can never be one of standing still. It must be of growth in wonder at the privileges which God has given, and a growth in which full understanding of all God's implications are built into this. So we have Paul's prayer for God's people in this section. As Paul is our example, we are challenged too to be in prayer always for others in our faith. We are called to love others in prayerful concern and active duty, remembering always that this is for the glory of Christ, why this is done. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And our gospel reading is taken from Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31. That's on page 28 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. This is probably in my top 10 favorite scriptures that I often go to for lots of reasons, but it's in my top 10. And this is the last discussion as we've been reading through Matthew as we follow the lectionary over the last little while. Jesus has come into the city. He's standing in front of the temple. He's telling different stories. He's talking with the disciples. He's talking with the religious leaders. This is the final discussion that he has standing outside the temple at that time. And shortly after this, he begins his walk or trek to the cross. He is here proclaiming not simply an end to a greater story, but he's declaring that he is King of all glory, like Paul has said in our reading, who will sit and judge the earth. And so on this, our remembrance of Christ the King Sunday, we recall once again how the Son of Man shall forever be the King of all creation. And there's lots that we can pull from this particular reading. Let's read now Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at the right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are the members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of God. We'll join together in our next hymn, number 704, Teach Me, God, to Wonder. Be seated. Christ the King Sunday celebrates the full authority of Christ as King and Lord of the universe. It's officially called the Feast of our Lord Jesus Christ the King. It's celebrated on the final Sunday of what we call Ordinary Time, and it's the last Sunday before Advent. And, of course, it falls to this year, this particular Sunday, November the 26th. And it's the last Sunday of the Christian liturgical year. And so, basically, this could be New Year's Eve day for us in so many ways, next Sunday being the first day of the Christian calendar. And our reading today from Matthew 25 does, for the most part, give a modern-day concept. And I say modern-day, let's talk 1700s on or 1800s on of heaven and hell, and we get that Bible-thumping, kind of concept coming from this punishment concept that's there in Matthew. But there's much more than just that buried within this. And I was looking up stuff about sheep and goats as I did with the kids, and I came across a story that says, you know, reminding us to watch what we say to our children. We all know that our grandchildren and children kind of echo things that we sometimes say in private. There was a young couple that invited their pastor for a Sunday dinner. And while they were in the kitchen preparing the meal, the minister and one of their children were sitting in the other room, and the minister asked that son, so what are we having for dinner? And the boy said, goat. Goat, replied the minister, thinking to himself, well, we live in a multicultural society. Maybe we are going to have some goat. I don't know. Are you really sure about that? Yes, said the youngster. I heard Dad say to Mom, today is just as good a day as any to have the old goat for dinner. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, as we read in Psalm 19, verse 14, the verse says there, may these words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to our souls this day. Teach us, lead us, feed us, and in Christ's name we pray this. Amen. So as I've said already, today is Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the church year. It's a Sunday where we honor Jesus as King of our lives and King of the world. And we see in our gospel reading today this kingship being sort of told about it in an allegory or a parable that Jesus is telling. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Interesting facts maybe around this that we can consider. Jesus is sitting on the throne and he is there doing the judging. And it's Jesus as opposed to God or as opposed to the Holy Spirit. His judgment is Jesus' calling as part of his ministry in total. But to take note again as well, gathered before him will be everybody in the world. We assume living and dead, but we just, everybody is what the intention is here. And he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. So I'm not a farmer by a long shot, I don't know how sheep and goats get along very well, but I know they can be put together in some cases in a flock. The best I could read about was goats kind of eat different stuff than sheep tend to. They do also eat similar things, but goats need a lot of extra minerals and nutrition, and copper in particular. And it's surmised that certainly in the Middle East, one of the reasons they may have put goats with the sheep was so that the goats would eat up all those particular minerals because they're not good for sheep. Too much copper in sheep's diet can actually kill them. So mixing them together, it can be there. But I don't think that's why this story is being told, particularly with goats and sheep. It's just two animals that people in that day were very familiar with, and it was easy to draw that analogy. The idea is that, and that's where we miss sometimes when we read this particular scripture. In the great revivals that took place in the 1800s, what got drawn out of this was, you know, hell and damnation, you know, that if you're not doing the right thing, you're going to hell and we're going to pound the pulpit. And that was the message that got delivered in those days, and often using this particular scripture because it's talking about that. But if we look at it from a little bit different perspective, possibly, we notice that there's sheep and goats standing in front of Christ in this analogy. And they are just who they are. And just like that business with the kids and the photographs, it's sometimes difficult to tell the difference between the two. Especially somebody like me, and I don't know anything about goats and sheep. I think all sheep look, you know, woolly and fat, and that's it. But not all sheep look just like that. And all goats have, you know, the little goatee, and you know, their tails are sticking up, and they tend to run around and climb in trees and fall down dead or whatever they do when they're trying to protect themselves. We've all seen those videos of the scared goats falling over. But the idea here is that maybe it isn't so easy to tell the difference when they're just all mixed in together. There's just a bunch of four-legged furry animals walking around. And Jesus somehow knows who they are and divides them apart. The lesson we can get from that is if we were walking down the street and looking at people as they walk past, who would be a criminal and who wouldn't be? Who's the bad guy and who's the good guy in a story? If we're walking down the street and there's a crowd of people walking in front of us through and walking past us, would it be easy to say, oh, that person's a murderer, that person is not a murderer, that person is a thief, that person is deadly honest always? They're just people. It's difficult to tell the difference. So Christ's point of this particular analogy is to say that there is a difference, and that sheep are just sheep and goats are just goats. What makes the difference between the two? As the story continues, it's what they do. It's what they do. And what gets misinterpreted often, particularly about this story, is we miss the point in thinking that it's what we do that gets us into heaven. It's what we don't do that sends us to hell and damnation. And therefore, we better do good things. We better be good people. The real point of this is sheep are sheep, goats are goats. It's who they are. And because of who they are, the outcome is such and such. And that's clearly pointed out when Jesus says to all the sheep, you came and visited me when I was sick. You came and got clothing for me. You took care of me and did all these things. And they say, well, when did we do that? I don't remember doing that for you. The point is it's something they do because of who they are. It's subtle, and I'm trying to make a point here. And it's a subtle point. It's missed often in our Christian history and church history. We get it backwards. We think that to be a Christian means you have to do good things. And that's partially right. But it's really the other way around. We do good things because we are Christ followers. It's an outcome of who we are. And we put the emphasis often on the other side of things. The point here, the goats are doing negative things because they're goats. We miss the point often. The outcome of what we do is who we are. And I've drawn this analogy, I know, in the past, and I always point at Renata, because it's easy to point to Renata, because Renata plays keyboard. And Renata, I know, when you're playing keyboard, just playing, and not necessarily a brand new piece, your fingers know where to go. And even when you're nervous, your fingers know where to go. It's an outcome of who you are. You're a musician. You've been trained and you've practiced. And that outcome is an automatic response to who you are. The other person I point to is Mr. Decker, who I don't know if he's, where is he? Well, I did see him this morning. Where are you, Ron? There he is. And I always point to Ron because, you know, you do some physical exercising and whatnot, and there's certain things that after a long time of training, it's an automatic response. You don't even think about it anymore. It's who you are. We have to be the same as Christian people. We need to practice doing those good things, but we're practicing them because of who we are. And we continue to do those things because it's Christ that's motivating us to do those things. Because we can look at that list and say, well, clothing the needy, visiting the sick and people in prison, feeding the hungry. There's lots of non-Christian organizations or non-Christ-centered organizations and people that do those things. And because, like I say, in the past, when we got it backwards, we go, well, that's a good person. I guess they're going to heaven. They do good things. But they're not doing it because Christ is in their life. It's not an outcome of Christ-centered activity. So it's easy to get mixed up. And that's the point. When you walk down the street on a busy street, who's Christian and who isn't? Hard to tell, isn't it? Somebody that opens the door for you to help you through the door, if you maybe you're having problems walking, just because they opened the door, does that make them a Christian? No, not necessarily. It doesn't make them a Christian, but opening that door is a response to Christ in my life. Jesus has done something absolutely remarkable for us, which is clearly identified even in our Ephesians reading today. He conquered death and gave us new life. He forgave us through the grace of God, made us new people. And as a result, we're thankful for that. How do we express our thanks? The sheep and the goats give us that wonderful example of that. How we treat one another You know, it's not easy always to be treating other people as Christ asked us to, but we work at that because Christ is in our life. It's not a matter, and I also want to say historically, Jesus is telling this story to a group of people who either were Sadducees. Remember the Sadducees? Why were they so Sadducee? Because they didn't believe in an afterlife. So the idea of a judgment day of heaven and hell meant nothing to them. He's also preaching to the other groups of Jewish believers at the time who don't believe in hell at all, just a place of the dead, that God will one day come. So this idea of heaven and hell is a concept that they're kind of scratching their head over. And so, again, looking at the context of this, Jesus is saying, if you are followers of God, this is the way you will behave. It's nothing to do with heaven and hell. That part of the story would be less important to them beyond what he's saying in this particular instance. When you act meanly, you're a goat. It's got nothing to do with anything other than who you are at that point. We need to be renewed in Christ and become the sheep. And that's shown in our lives by the way we behave, by the way we treat others, by the way we let God work. Last night I was visiting with a family from Carluke Church, St. Paul's in Carluke. There's a longtime member of their congregation who's in his 90s, has been involved with the church his entire life, and he passed away. So I sat in a farmhouse last night with a farming family, and they were telling me about sort of the farms in the area. It's a really different experience from being from the city to be sitting in a farming community and hear them tell stories about people in their church, the way they behaved with one another. He told me one time many years ago, their dad, who's now passed away, fell off a combine and broke his leg. So he couldn't finish his planting. All the other farmers in the area, without even being asked, showed up and planted his crops for him. They're all Christian brothers and sisters. They all went to the same church. They didn't have to be asked. And as they recounted stories to me, every single one of them had something happen sometime over the years where they couldn't finish something. Building a barn, planting crops, harvesting crops, taking care of their dairy cattle. And without even asking, the others were there that morning, driving tractors up the laneway. How can we help? How can we help? That's the sheep. It's acts of kindness like that that identify who the sheep are. They're not doing it to be kind. They're not doing it to get into heaven. They're doing it because Jesus is in their life. And what a remarkable story as I heard about their faith and their love and the way that they respond. We do similar things here in this church. Food for Life is a response of our love for God. You know, lots of other people could be doing that, but we do it because we're Christian people and Christ has given us much. We want to give back. It's a wonderful thing that we can do. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. We are doing that all the time. Amen. God holds the depths of the earth and the heights of the mountains, the sea and the dry land. Let us now offer our tithes and offerings to God in response, same way as the sheep taking care of God's people. Let us present our offerings now. Thank you. Lord, we thank you that you motivate us and move us in our hearts to give. To give because we love you, and to give that it may help others. Lord, we ask a blessing on this offering and a special blessing on the children's offering that's presented this morning. We thank you for their faithfulness and their kindness and their offering that they bring every week and then come into the church with it. And it's just lovely to see this, Lord, and all ages in our congregation participating in this act of giving because we love. We thank you, Lord, and we offer this now in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, girls. Thank you. Thanks. Please be seated. Well, here we are again at our time of prayers for the people. I will report that those of you who know Kathy Wilson, she's home, which is good, but there's still lots of work that she needs to have done regarding all the stuff that's been going on, and that her husband Ian also needs a lot of prayer. He's had some news, which you can ask me later if you know them, and I can fill you in a little bit, but they do need continued prayer. And we continue to pray for Nancy Capstick's family and the loss of her and all of us in this congregation who miss Nancy greatly. She was an integral part of our congregation, and it's been tough to think that she's gone now. But we will honor her and continue to pray for her in so many ways. So as always I've been doing, I will give an opportunity for us to say names of people that are on our hearts. I know that God is truly honoring this. I mean, Kathy's home, and that's a wonderful thing, and it's because of your prayers that this has been happening and that things are continuing to move forward. So those who are on your heart, those in your life that you know, even a situation maybe that is going on somewhere here or in another country, you can name that too. It doesn't necessarily have to just be an individual person, but I know you all have people on your hearts. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the story today of the sheep and the goats. We thank you that you call us to pray always, and just as that story with the sheep, to be responding in very practical ways, just as a matter of course in our day. And almost like, again, the sheep responding, well, when did we do all these things? Well, you did it here and you did it here. And that's this is one of those, you did it here. We prayed here. And when we're praying for these people, the least of these, we are praying for you, Christ, and you are in turn praying for us. Lord, we come before you from Sunday to Sunday to give you thanks as well for the many things that you're doing in the lives of the people in this congregation. You're healing us. You're taking care of us. But Lord, as always, from Sunday to Sunday, there are many in our lives that are still in need and still have some physical things coming that have news maybe that is very upsetting. A loss of life or an illness that's just crippling. And so, Lord, as we've been doing, we pray that you will honor this act of faith in prayer of offering names up to people, of people in our lives. And so, Lord, we take a time now and we offer those names to you. Thank you, Lord, that you hear these names spoken out loud and those mentioned in our hearts in silence. Lord, I thank you for the love that's expressed here. It moves me every Sunday when I hear these names being offered up. And these are people who are in need. And as we say from Sunday to Sunday as well, it's not just that name that's mentioned. There's a family around that name. There's friends around that name. There's co-workers and acquaintances around that name. One person, because we're connected in so many ways, affects the lives of so many others. Lord, you know the needs of each individual person that was mentioned today. Be with them. Honor this act of faith. Honor this act of prayer. And be with them, Lord. And Lord, I pray for this congregation as we move into our new year, not just the Christian calendar year, but also begin the period of Advent and then move into January. And it seems like, how did that happen? How did we get here so quickly? But another year is upon us. Lord, help us as a congregation to be continually seeking out your will and the things that we need to strengthen ourselves in and the healing that needs to be done, Lord. Work these things through in the next while. Help us to be strong in Christ, but our strength truly comes from Christ as well. Help us to draw upon that and to continue to be the people that you've called us to be. Lord, we hold all of this up, all of this prayer, all of this contemplation, all of this teaching today. We hold all of this up in Christ's name. It is His name that makes the difference. It is His name that brings salvation. It is His name that brings redemption. Amen. We close our service today with our final hymn, "Follow Me, the Master Said." As sheep follow the shepherd, we follow the Master. Number 645. Sundays are a time of worship, and they are a time for learning and a time for growing. So with our eyes of our heart enlightened, we receive the hope to which God has called us in Christ Jesus, and that is the hope and purpose of worship this day. Glory be to God. And now may God who seeks the lost keep you. May God who brings back the wandering heart uphold you. And may God who binds up the injured heal you. God who strengthens the weak empower you now and forever. Amen.